This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by otbdiscs.com.
At one point in time, if you listened to the show, you knew about our little secret site to get awesome discs. It's not a secret anymore. It is a site where you can learn everything about the discs you're purchasing before you actually have them in your hands.
Get disc weight, dominess, flatness, all kinds of ratings. Learn it before you get it in there and get your favorite disc at only the best discs, otbdiscs.com. Use promo code DGPODCAST to get free shipping on your next order. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 243 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
We've bought a lot of plastic lately.
Yeah. We had sexy birds that we finally managed to get this week. Mint came out with their jackalope. And
I'm
also
happy you were able to get those because
also Eternal Bullets. That got thrown in there, and it's been a expensive week on the disc buying. I mean, it's a normal week. Plus,
we also in the last couple weeks have.
Well, I mean that's normal maintenance. You know, that's just like you got to buy.
Who knew we would fall in love with a Prodigy disc this much?
A3s are great.
A3s are life.
Yeah,
I don't see a way that when we do our recap in 2022, that the A3 isn't
disc of the year.
The disc of the year.
Yeah, I don't think.
I mean, I'm stoked with the challenge. I'm stoked with like that possibility. I just don't see.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Totally
agree.
Yeah, and like, there's new plastics that we haven't thrown yet. Like, if there is something that probably does well aside from the A3, it's just plastic.
Let's put it this way. If the A3 isn't the disc of the year, I'm really excited for that.
100%. Oh, my gosh.
Because that means there's going to be something else that comes out. I didn't even get in the Tilt game. Like, Tilts came out? Yeah. I didn't go for that.
There's no reason.
Yeah.
We have one. We threw it. We knew what's up.
Well, I mean, we don't really, like, throw sexy birds either, like, a lot. But we have a bunch of them. It's mostly because they're great and Nate sexy.
I mean,
sexy
I've got one in my bag.
Oh, okay. We don't need 20.
Oh, I get it now, Robin.
What?
I was just about to say, I mean, I got one in my bag. It's a 17. Pretentious.
Yeah, you're right.
I get it now. This is this conversation we're having.
You
got to right
stop
now
talking down to people. Like, you're right. You're right.
This is a regular conversation for us, and we're assholes because we're like, we only throw, you know, like I only throw.
Oh, we've only been collecting sexy birds,
germ birds, and sexy
right
birds, and you know,
no, it's true.
We could have gotten some Tilts and feel like it because like we're beneath that.
No, it's true. It's true. Maybe we should give a sexy bird away to the people to be less pretentious. We've got plenty. We could give away one.
Oh, totally. I mean, might I dare say we have more than plenty? We will never throw all of those.
No.
Now, with that said, we do at times do mystery boxes, and there's a good chance that some
We did have a request from our good friend Matt Raymond.
And moderator
of our Disc Golf Podcast Slack group. Who we sent to Hawaii, because that's how well we pay our mods. Not trying to be pretentious.
Also, if you're a mod and you're like, where's my money? We don't actually pay our mods. Sorry, I love you. Appreciate you.
But we do have. And at the time when he messaged me, I thought we had a 15. We don't have a 15.
Nope.
But we have all the others. We have 16 through 2021 and to review and compare the differences, cause they are different, and give like a breakdown of what the sexy birds, how they vary over those years. I'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I think we do that, but
in my recollection, because I feel like I've thrown a 15. The 15, the 16 were pretty similar. And honestly,
I've heard the 15
are like
a little beefier. I've never thrown a 15 though.
Yeah, but the cost on the 15 is just, it's not tenable. I mean, those
oh
things,
no,
those things are,
we're not messing with it.
Yeah.
But we got, yeah, we got,
but
16s.
We could do a review of 16 through 21.
Yep.
And throw each of them and give an idea of like which runs do what, because they are a little different.
They
some
are.
Are flatter, some are a little more domey. There's
a reason I have a 17 in my bag. Like, it just was the right glide. It's what, yeah, I want. And I've mostly had 17 and 18 for like a minute, but went back to, anyway, totally. I think we can totally do it. And maybe after that we give one away. Like, yeah, I would rather give one away that's slightly field
on that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to hurt people's feelings, but we also, being pretentious, the discs that we have here are for throwing. I mean, we've got some like fun ones for show, but we're not collectors. We're not about the disc golf auction, make money. We buy them because we like them and we'll throw them if we feel like we want to. There's no like untouchable, can't throw it off the wall disc. Except for maybe that one zone. Everything else is good to go. That one, like black with black claws, zone. Maybe we shouldn't throw that one.
That first run, Discraft, Paul McBeth.
He loves oxygen.
He does. He does. Paul McBeth, Discraft run. I mean, those keep selling for crazy amounts of money. It's wild.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but we still have them. We just when runs come out.
Anybody want McPro AVRs?
Like, you got to buy discs when they come out.
Yeah.
They're fun.
For sure.
It's part of the deal.
For sure. Oh my gosh.
And if you're new to the sport and you're listening to this and someone told you, "Oh, you'll love disc golf. It's super cheap." It's not cheap. It's not cheap.
Still cheaper than golf. By the way, listen next week for the Ball Golf podcast. coming to you.
Joe and I have decided we're going to start a spin-off podcast called the Ball Golf Podcast.
Yep.
We're going to
take a used ball and a water beer and let you know if you should fucks with them on the course.
Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. We're going to apply a similar amount of knowledge that we have about disc golf, which is markedly low.
Yeah. Yeah.
And take that over to ball golf, where we have probably a similar amount of knowledge of it, you know, like, Tiger Woods.
Jack Nicklaus still top of his game?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You know,
and we'll talk about the latest news in the game.
What if we only
give our picks for the latest tournaments?
What if we only review canned Arnold Palmers?
That's exactly what we should do. We'll review malt beverages branded after golf
well,
pros.
What's his name has a malt liquor lemonade?
Exactly.
The big dude. Shit. See? There's my knowledge. There's my ball golf knowledge. John
Daly.
Daly. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll review malt beverages that you know, rich white people are cool with, and
maybe we'll do a live watch of like Tin Cup or something. I mean, I guess it'd be better for Happy Gilmore. That'd make more sense.
Probably.
I went like hard golf instead of like
probably.
Like
yeah.
You know, an easy slam dunk golf movie that I've yeah. watched.
I think it could be really good. I mean,
plus times.
It's really about the same amount of insight that we provide here on this show.
That's probably true.
I mean,
I will say I definitely watch more disc golf than ball golf, but I can change. I can work on it.
We don't provide anything here that you couldn't Google. So, like,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
100%.
We could do the same thing with ball golf.
It's coming next week. It might start in Patreon. Who knows? Just be on the lookout.
The Ball Golf Podcast. It's coming. I like it. I think it's going to be great. Anyways, we got a great show for you guys tonight. We got semi-big news on the Portland Open, which originally I thought was supposed to be like end of August, but apparently it's been moved up on the ESPN2 schedule, so that's happening. And we will recap the Discraft Great Lakes Open, the D-Glow, if you will, And we'll do our picks for the Preserve Championship, and then we'll do our world-famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring on the course. Tonight, we have 21st Anniversary IPA by 21st Amendment Brewing Company, which is 7.4% West Coast IPA. And we're going to pair that with the Cumulus by Sune Sport. Sune? I'm not sure the pronunciation on that one. But it's a two-speed, three-glide, minus one turn, one fade putter. Very interesting disc. This disc falls in the category of something I would initially have completely disregarded. However, I threw it, and I felt it was worth reviewing on this show because it is, I think, a relevant disc. So, yeah, where do you want to go next? Should we the Portland Open thing is not really like there's not a lot to talk about.
I think just hit the beats on it and we can move forward.
Portland Open, basically, we got a tweet from Disc Golf Pro Tour earlier today saying that it's been moved up to Monday, August 2nd. So that'll be on like evening time. I think it's 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. So we'll have that covered. So
live?
Well,
is it this week?
Live-ish because the Portland Open was, you know, like a while ago.
I'm sorry. Totally it was. That was the one that was on the ball golf course. And randomly, oh, man, that's how out of it I am. I legit was like... I thought that wasn't going to happen, and then it did.
I mean,
and then
Preserve Portland, I can see that happening.
And yeah. That happened.
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see. I mean, one, I would hope that we all tune into it just to you know, get some viewership on there and see what it was. The previous one was a CBS Sports broadcast of the
DDO. Do we know who's commentating
of DDO.
And all that stuff, or is it just cut up what they
I
had?
I think it's going to be just kind of cut up of the live footage, possibly a kind of rebroadcast of mm-hmm. types with new commentary. But if there's what we saw from that DDO CBS Sports broadcast, it was basically just the Joe Mez.
Well, but they brought them back in to commentate over the cut up footage.
So we'll see. It should be fun. I can't wait. So
as long as Ian's a part of it, life's good.
I can't wait to take a look at that and see how that broadcast goes, and you know, watch advertisements in between.
Advertisements
in between footage I've already seen, but. Still cool. Still
super
very cool.
Rad. ESPN2, it's not even the Ocho. Like,
yeah.
That's a big deal.
It is actually also going to be on the Ocho later the week.
I love it. I love it. Love it, love it. I also love that it's not CBS Sports, which it's cool that happened, but ESPN2
is
a whole
way more
world.
Relevant than
a
CBS
whole
Sports.
Different
yeah.
world.
Agreed. So Discraft Great
Thank
Lakes
you, James
Open.
Conrad.
Yes. Thank you, James Conrad. For making that amazing shot with that Envy that I hope to hold in my hands in like a month.
Hopefully we didn't get scammed.
Yes. But anyway, Discraft Great Lakes Open. Another awesome tournament. At D-Glo.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nate Heinhold.
Yeah.
Took over. He did some cool stuff.
He did.
Like one of the biggest things he talked about, which I thought was really cool, was like, I want cement tee pads. Like, I want good.
Yeah.
Which is huge. Which I'll tell you right now, with the courses we play, our local course.
In the past, we felt he was like a bit of a masochist. Is that right? Or is,
he still kind of is.
Like, in terms of his course design?
That new 15 or whatever is pretty.
Yeah.
Mega.
Yeah. But, I mean, the man wants quality. And
he does.
So.
He does. Well, there's no water here.
Can't,
so
can't
he
hate
can't,
on it.
So he can't go too wild. But you know who's... I will say we thought that. But then with OTB Open after the time at Glen Eagles...
Yeah. Leonard Muse is
Leonard Muse is the masochist.
Is the new.
He is the new, like...
The new dungeon master?
Like, well, he started that. So Heinold even talked about that, like, turning two... But like a par three and a par four, at making them a hole together and still keeping it a par four.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was like, it's probably a 4.5.
Yeah.
We easily could have made it a 5, but I decided to make it a 4. Like, Leonard Muse started that game at the first SF Open of like, maybe somebody could get a birdie on it this way, so let's make it one stroke shorter.
Uh-huh.
So Leonard Muse is actually he is the dungeon master, and Heinel's just trying to keep up.
Yeah.
Regardless, he did a great job. I think it was a very well-done tournament.
It's still a fantastic course, and I think the improvements were well done. And it didn't change the end result.
By the way, I got confirmation that I was totally correct that old-ass was that course, which is awesome.
So you got to understand sometimes people when you're listening, like, I'm trying to manage the flow of something, so there are times when I'm trying to move something along that I'm maybe not like fully listening to Joe, and I'm just
what?
I'm just,
how dare you?
I'm just trying to like move on. So that there are plenty of times where I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm not Rob's sure. Like, I'm trying
just get this, stop this thought so we can just go to the next thing. Like, I'm waiting for you to stop talking so I can just jump in and move to the next thing.
And that's my bad. I shouldn't do that. But it's if I stop to Google something, then you're liable to get a tangent of sorts or some dead air. And
mostly tangents. You know who's real good at disc golf?
And that's a really tough thing on a hard-hitting professional journalistic podcast like ours.
Oh, Oh, I thought you were going to talk about like a different podcast.
No, like ours. It's just we have to maintain a certain level of professionalism to make sure that our listeners don't get upset.
We don't have like contracts or anything, right? Like,
no, we don't.
Okay, cool. Yeah, totally.
No, definitely no.
Totally super hardcore journalist right here.
Yep.
Tell you that. You know who's real good at disc golf?
Who?
Kristen Tatar.
Kristen Tatar is by far the lead story, because she is nails, and
that round was all over the place.
If you watch one round out of this weekend from D-Glo, I think you need to watch FPO
final
because it was absolutely fire, and it was strange because going into that round, like if you just look at the box score or whatever, the scorecards, you see that going into that round, Tatar was down 2 strokes. Well, Paige Pierce came in and she coughed up a triple bogey hole one. So,
well, here's the thing. I knew the final score. I knew that Tatar won. And after that hole, I was like, oh, it's probably just wire to wire. Like, yeah. Like,
but it
oh,
wasn't.
Is this how it goes? No.
But it wasn't.
Not at all.
It wasn't.
My Gordonness.
It was a back and forth thing, and Tatar banged a massive putt for Eagle. Massive putt for Eagle. Uphill to take the lead.
Well, take a step back to off the tee.
Yeah.
Off the tee.
Yeah.
Paige blistered it. Paige absolutely murdered the disc. There's no player in FPO that could match that. There are not a ton of MPO players that could match that crush. And then like listen to commentary and be like, well, Tatar's gonna have to match that. I'm like, she's not gonna match that.
No.
Like there's absolutely no way. No. There's not a single FPO player that could match that.
Katrina
in the right.
Yeah, no, Katrina can do that.
Maybe something a little less stable, flip it up, get a little turn, get it out there. Tatar still had a great shot, had a great upshot. Paige had a better upshot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their tied right here. You can finish where you're going. I cut you off, but
go ahead.
Tatar's 50 feet out uphill. Like that's a 75 foot power putt. Like that is not an easy putt.
No.
That's not an easy putt flat 50 or
downhill
25 feet uphill in that same slope is insane. And not only did she hit it, it was a no doubter, heart of the chains.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Beauty.
Crushed it.
On top of that, her putting that entire round was absolutely fire.
Nails.
Like,
for
sure. She just didn't give up on any of those shots. And it was so much fun to watch. I'm going to pull up her stats here. But yeah, she was 83 C1X, 40% C2. So she had 5 circle 2 putts made.
She threw a 9 down at D-Glow.
Yeah.
Gross. I mean, yeah. Super rad. A bogey-free 9 down.
100% scramble. But you combine 83% C1X, which is pretty good. I mean, that's essentially...
that's top-tier FPO.
That's top-tier FPO. And then add in 40% C2 putting.
Yeah.
In a single round. I mean, that is absolutely nuts. And you compare that with Paige, who was 79% C1X and 0% C2.
Mm.
So,
but she had a circle 1 putt, by the way.
Yeah.
On 17.
No, so she had, 2 circle 2 putts made. Not 5. She had 5 attempts. Two
out of 5. Still
two out of
fantastic.
5. Apologies. Yeah.
But Paige needed to make that putt. Tatar made that putt because she knew in her heart that Paige was going to make that putt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only way that she was going to keep
and
pace and be able to get to 18 and go to a playoff.
Yep.
And she banged them chains. And Paige just...
That putt was... We talked about this previously, but that putt was 20 feet?
Yep. Downhill.
Downhill?
No penalty, like just
to force a playoff?
Yeah. I mean, because no one's birdieing 18.
Yeah.
Very few MPO do it.
No
FPO.
No, it's not
birdied
possible.
18.
Yeah.
The entire tournament.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, throwing. I mean, shout out James Conrad. But, it's going
to
a playoff.
At the same time, it is a not easy 3, but it is a likely 3.
Yeah.
It is a near impossible
These
birdie.
Caliber players,
Did
it's
anybody
a likely
in,
3.
In,
I don't think there's a single birdie on 18. If there was, I'll tell you right now, it was a throw-in.
Might have been.
There's no.
So, yeah, I don't see any birdies in these rounds. Yeah, no. Oh boy. lots of everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were no FPO birdies on 18.
Very few MPO birdies, to be honest.
There were some.
Okay, there was a good amount.
Yeah, there was a good amount.
I'm a liar. Anyway, it is...
No, Eagle posterized it. Eagle got the birdie on 18 all 3 rounds.
Well, when you
And
got...
even going back to the previous tournament, he got it all 3 in a row.
When you got a 500-foot forehand, you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
but anyway, that just... It blew my mind to see... Paige missed that, and she missed some uncharacteristic putts too throughout the day. Also,
yeah,
to
there's
keep
actually
that
like
in
a
contention.
Bunch of
yeah, there's a whole bunch.
Yeah,
I'm a liar. But anyway, I was right with FPO. So
stop
I'll take
spreading
that win.
Misinformation, Joe.
Hey, I was right on FPO. I'll take my 50%. It rounds up. You know, means I win. Anyway, Tatar was nails. Her little interview at the end was. Super rad, like mm-hmm. almost in tears, like been waiting for this. We've been waiting for it too.
We have been. We've been saying it for quite a bit, like wanting the European players because we really do believe that Evelina and Tatar.
I'm gonna say like Tatar is rad, and I'm stoked for her. But I will say this right now. I think Evelina's better.
I think so.
It's hard to say right now because we haven't seen
it's hard to say. Like, we need that.
We do. I'm excited for next year.
I just think there could be a lot more competition FPO if we had that.
Yep.
You know, those European players are so, so good. And
but we're already seeing
it
just
and it could
Tatar.
Be, and we see the chinks in the armor with Paige and Katrina. And it's just there. Like, you know, Hannah Blumroos and Kristen Tatar and Evelina Salonen, you know, like these players are as good. They can do a lot of the same things. And frankly, they're better putters.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you right now, if you are a lady and you are wanting to make it an FPO, you want to get after it, I'll tell you right now, and we've seen it with Owen Scott. I mean, she's quality kind of. She's got the forehand, some backhand, but like
Owen is like a complete player.
You can set yourself aside, and I'll tell you, Heather Young is not a super skill, big distance anything.
No,
but she putting puts. Sets her yeah. aside. So yeah. if you are trying to come up in the game right now, put in that putting work. I'll tell you right now that will bring you up 10 spots automatic with the current field if you are a nails putter.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need 450 if you can throw 300 and then 200 to a place that you feel comfortable putting, you're getting the same score.
Yeah. Man, I would love to have Owen Scoggins' game. She throws a fantastic backhand. She has a great forehand, and she's the like one of the best putters in all of the division.
I'll take Tatar's game.
And like, give me that. I'd just be stoked to just be that all the time.
100%.
So happy.
1,000,000,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want me to run down the old
sure.
O's? Chris and Tar, -20 in first place. Paige Pierce, second at -19. Kat, -11 in third. We had a tie with Haley King, Heather Young, -7 in fourth. Sarah Hokum, -5 in sixth. Deanne Carey, -4 in seventh. Alex Benson, -1 in eighth. And the 2-way tie with Kat Merch and, I didn't even know Ragnar's out playing. That's awesome.
Ragnar Bide.
Yeah, that's rad. I'm stoked she's back out there.
Yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. Do we need to spend time on MPO? Like,
yeah, I mean,
Eagle's real good at disc golf.
Yeah, I mean,
cool.
Eagle goes back to back. To me, the real story of MPO is Kyle Klein, because this is a Discmania sponsored player, and how do they keep finding these people? Like, Kyle Klein is like mini Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
He bombs. He spin putts.
He's like more like mini Simon.
Just
in the sense of like his form is way more Simon than Eagle.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
He's very Simon-esque in his form.
But like
he just maybe put
But
better.
he is the Discmania type. Like
he is.
These bombers.
He is.
But like
not a bang bro.
A boom.
It's what
bash.
No, it's not bash.
What do they call them? Crush.
Crush boys.
There you go.
We had our own names that we really liked for them that they never took, which whatever. Yeah.
I think Bang Bros is something you shouldn't Google.
It's a disc golf thing, no?
No, I don't think so.
Can we start a disc golf brand on them?
Nah, we probably shouldn't.
Okay. We get a van.
No.
With like Bang Bros on the side.
Don't do that. Definitely don't do
and
that.
It's just all about disc golf.
No.
We just ask people
idea.
To come in the van with
no.
us.
No, it's
and
not.
We'll talk disc
Stop
golf
it.
With them.
Stop it.
Let's talk about them D's.
God. So I don't like this.
But yeah, no. Kyle Klein. Well, so he won 2 years prior, won Amateur Worlds. At Diglo. So he knows the course.
Did you see so Kyle Klein was wearing an Eagle Man
shirt.
Jersey. And,
oh, I saw that. That was fantastic.
And then Eagle called him out on it in the post.
You won't ever beat me if you're wearing my shirt.
So
Kyle's gonna get a shirt.
So hey, Discmania, let's make Kyle a shirt.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, Discmania, we will buy two.
Yeah,
we'll buy two Kyle Klein shirts.
Yeah, and
make them up.
Please make them in XL.
Okay. Yes. Oh yes, please. Shit. No, he was so good. They all were like.
I mean, this is a one-stroke win. Now, granted, the course changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Not a little bit. There's some decent changes, but it's still, you know, more or less the same course. And like Eagle loves this course and like played extremely well. And Kyle Klein, actually outshot Eagle in the final round.
Yeah.
You know,
when Eagle tied, he was like, I thought walking in, I was like, I just got it. And he played the final round very different than he played the round previous.
Yeah.
Eagle was running shit hard, and this time he was like, "Ah, we'll be fine." And then late he was like, "Oh no, we're not fine. What what happened here? Shoot."
So it was a lot of fun. I mean, really watching it, Kyle Klein chasing after Eagle, just absolutely running him down, was so much fun. It was great.
Did you have a chance to watch the...
And we already talked about it, but like Eagle throwing a forehand, straddling a road barrier, like 400 feet long of the basket, that was bananas. They're going to have to do something about that going forward. Like, you can't have people throwing from the road, like having a whole bunch of spectators standing in a street. I don't know how busy that road is. It didn't look very busy.
But if you got big barriers, like, it's not a good place to stand.
Something's got to change. But also, the way that the OB on that hole goes, like, there's no punishment on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
So
why not?
So, but there's like OB all down the left. So
it will change.
Are you gonna do? So they got to do something there. Either lighten up the OB on the left so that players don't challenge that right side as much,
or just make the road OB, make that guardrail
something
OB,
something. But
and then you got to throw things different.
But that was wild. Like I.
Well, and because Kyle Klein threw from the road too.
Yep.
They both threw from the road.
Yeah.
And multiple people threw from the road.
It was a regular occurrence.
Greasy spot. Did you have a chance at all to watch the GK Pro skins?
I didn't, no.
So I only bring it up because Kyle, Simon, and Eagle were all in that skins match.
Uh-huh.
And for sure Kyle's like little brother. Like Simon was for sure just like, just not like shitting on him, but definitely like took his little jabs here and there at Kyle. It was pretty funny. I liked it.
Dude, Kyle's
and then Tristan Tanner, who,
yeah,
good for him, but he got skunked.
Yeah.
Which
that's right.
Those three, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Whoo.
Kyle Klein's gonna be up there. Like Kyle Klein's gonna have the same kind of career arc, I think, that we're seeing with Eagle. You know, like we're talking about Eagle.
I don't mean this. I promise you, I don't mean this, but is Simon the new dynamic or Discmania Avery?
Avery has world championship.
I know, I was thinking that too in my mind.
So Simon's gotta do some work before he gets to Avery level.
I know.
In my mind.
I don't know. He's like the old man of the crew, and he's not old.
He's fine. I mean, he's a fantastic player, and he has built his brand to a fantastic level.
That's true. He is the most,
and he's
likable.
He's a threat. I mean, he could easily win this next week.
He could easily win every week.
Yeah. So, no, he needs to win a world championship before you can talk about him and Avery in the same echelon.
So, is Greg Barsby the next Avery Jenkins?
What? No. Avery was a dominant player in his era. Like he was very good. Like,
what are you trying to say about my boy Greg Barsby? What are you trying to say, bro?
Greg Barsby is a very, very good player
and a world champion.
That's correct.
And his shades game is on point.
That's true.
And his quesadilla game is on point.
Yeah. No, Greg is fantastic. But like, I don't think anyone would ever describe his game as dominant, you know, like in his times. But there were glimpses.
I can tell you, I can point you to thousands of B-tier players that would differ.
Yes, of course. But, you know, I don't know. I like different style of player. Obviously, yeah. Avery was one of the
big power
guys, like in the beginning when disc golf was just starting to develop, you know, power throwing and stuff like that. So I don't think you can really compare the two of them. in terms of that. But yeah, I mean, Simon, like, Simon can absolutely win a world championship. Why yeah. not? Why not?
He's got to want it.
He just has to put it all together in a world championship, you know, tournament. That's it. Just like Conrad did with the like most miraculous shot ever. Or like with Greg Barsby, putting it together with just like awesome putts in a course that suits his game well. It just
who wins the world's first? Kyle Klein, Eagle McMahon, Simon Lazat, and here's the big twist, Kevin Jones.
I'm gonna go Eagle.
I mean, that's an easy one.
Where
throw Eagle out? Let's go back in.
Okay.
Kyle, Simon.
My choice is Kevin. Then
me too.
Yeah, because that was my kind of like.
He's just got a complete. He's got, like you talk about great. Like he's got a complete game.
Yeah, yeah, and the forehand is great.
I mean, not that.
So
Kyle and Simon.
I mean, but. I think that we're gonna see Kyle Klein continue to rise, and it could be a meteoric rise. But I think that we've seen him go up and down. When he misses his putts, he misses long and like has. You know, big scores on some of those because he's such an aggressive spin putter.
Yeah.
So I think that is going to be something he's got to dial in before he's really consistently up at the top. But, you know, I think we're looking at the kind of next, you know, the next Eagle or the next Simon, something like that. Someone that is going to be in the conversation in those like 10-45 10-50 players. What is he currently rated?
All right, I'm going to throw one more in. Like, this is really bad, but we'll say a similar age range. So take Eagle out. Let's go. And then I'll stop this because this is like a stupid tangent, but I want to throw this one other person because I think he deserves to be part of this conversation. Kyle Klein, Simon Lazat, Kevin Jones.
So he's currently rated 10-35. Kyle Klein is. So I could see Kyle Klein... Sorry, I interrupted you, but...
No, that's fine.
You're totally fine. I feel I deserve that.
You do.
So he's currently 10-35, and I could easily see Kyle Klein being 10-40s next year.
Oh, yeah.
And touching on 10-50s in the following year. Because he's like 19, yeah. 20 at most. He's teens, I think.
19. He's 19.
So...
Okay, so we already said... We already said out of that group, Kevin Jones. Kevin Jones or Calvin Heimberg?
Heimberg.
Yeah. We're all on the same page.
Yeah. Heimberg is knocking on the door. He's gonna get something.
Heimberg, like, you know, it's he's either gonna be top three or he just spent too much time, you know, with the Rock.
Heimberg's dry humor game is
oh, it's another level.
Another level. It's pure. It's
he is the anti Kevin Jones.
Yeah,
they are aside from their love of the Rock, or rocks. Sorry, minerals. I don't know what you want to say.
Yeah.
Aside from their combined love of that, they are complete opposites in humor.
Yeah. Like, I would love to have Calvin Heimberg on the show just to talk down to us the entire time.
Oh God, I don't want that. I don't like it when people make me feel dumb. And honestly, I know what you're all thinking listening right now. It doesn't happen very often.
Uh-huh.
I know it seems like, fuck you. I know it seems like it does, but you know, that's a whole different world. But I think I would feel dumb talking to Calvin. I'd be fine having Kevin on the pod.
So yeah, Eagle, getting back to him, was 42% circle two in that for the tournament. 42%. What do you think your circle two percentage is? Like
0.07?
like
I was high actually. I think that's high. Like, to be totally honest, I think that's super high. Like, I think I hit a circle two putt.
I'm a way better circle two putter than you. I think I'm like maybe 1.5%.
I feel like I'm once every two rounds I hit a circle two putt, and I have multiple circle two putts every round. Like, for sure.
Yeah.
I've had rounds for sure where I've hit like two or three and it's just feeling good, but the majority of the time, no bueno.
Yeah. 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 All right. You ready to talk preserve, do our picks?
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Oh, you want to do the NPO rundown?
Let me run.
The people already know this stuff, Joe.
Okay. Eagle won. Kyle came in second.
Where did I put that?
Dude, Corey Ellis came in third.
Corey Ellis did come in third.
I don't really know who he is, but he came in third, so he's like a good disc golfer, obviously. Everyone knows that. Paul McBeth, I guess, had a migraine and had a real bad second round, but still didn't play great. Tried to sink my grip six picks.
Ricky Wysocki did a similar thing.
Ricky Wysocki's just hanging. I'm being totally honest right now. Like, I don't know that I will pick Rick again this year.
Really?
For a win. Maybe really? For a top three. I don't even think it's that he doesn't have it in him, because he 100% does. I think, and he has more than a pass than anyone ever in the world to just have fun and smash discs. You know, we've talked about, you know, his whole fam and all that stuff that happened this year. But I do feel like he's a winner, but I do feel like he is, which I don't, I don't have an issue with. I do feel like he's like more trying to go out and have fun than he is trying to go like destroy and slay and take wins.
All right.
And I would love for him to prove me wrong, because I love Rick. I love Rick more this year than I've ever loved Rick in my life.
I don't think he's trying to. I think Rick is as competitive as they come, and he's just not. He's not playing.
Well, he's not there, I guess. Yeah, maybe he's not.
But I don't think he's out there just trying to have fun. I don't buy that at all.
Okay. Eagle, first place, -28. Kyle Klein, -27. Second, Corey Ellis, our best friend that we know tons about and talk about him all the time, -24. And third, three-way tie, James Conrad, Emerson Keith, Adam Hammes, great showing by all three of them, -23. Kevin Jones, we were talking about, -22 in seventh. Once again, Ricky Wysocki still in eighth place, -20, even though I'm like, well, I think he's just having fun still. Amazing, super.
Is Paul McBeth just having fun too?
He had a migraine the second day. Okay, that's different.
Okay,
no, right.
I'm just checking.
I don't know that Paul has fun playing competitive rounds. If I'm being honest,
he does. This is Paul fun. Paul fun is different than what you consider fun. Paul fun is a different kind of fun.
He tied with Simon in ninth, -19. Yeah, Paul fun is different than my fun.
Yeah.
Actually, most of these guys on this list, fun is different than my fun. Yeah. I think Simon is probably the maybe Kevin Jones might have similar fun.
Like, if your definition of fun is having a very disciplined day where you do 200 putts and 200 push-ups and
eat a clean dinner
and you know, that's
hold hands with your wife while you watch a movie, maybe get a smooch or two.
These are disciplined professional athletes.
By the way, nothing wrong.
They operate.
Watch a movie with your wife and getting a couple smooches.
I'm saying discipline as a compliment. Like that takes having.
Oh God, I wish I had that discipline.
Yeah, that is a good thing. That's not bad. Mm. In no way, should that be.
Life probably would be better if I had that discipline. But I'm pretty happy with my life.
Yeah. Yeah. You ready to do picks for the Preserve Championship?
I'm ready to win picks.
Ooh. I think I won picks.
Oh, you did. I drank a real bad drink.
Because I chose Tatar. So the way Joe and I determine our picks, we use the Grip 6 system, the point system, and we pick 3 and 3. So we pick 3 players on each end. We do technically say who we want in first, second, third place, but we use the Grip 6 scoring system to determine who won. So I eked out Joe. Was it an eek?
It was like 7 points. Like a 7-point. Yeah. Some points.
Tatar being the...
I had Heimberg and Kat.
Ah, yeah.
And you had Kevin Jones and Tatar, which just destroyed me.
Which is a big help. So, so Preserve Championship, there are slight changes, but from what we've seen and heard, the course is still fairly open, and it's a long course, a bomber's course.
Oh, and it was built by a the most handsome man in disc golf.
Yeah, of course, Preserve Championship course in Minnesota. We should also note that in their pregame or pre-tournament presser, there is a slight chance that this tournament doesn't happen due to smoke.
Oh, I saw
because
that.
There are a number of fires across the United States, God. And the prevailing winds are carrying it across. And at the moment, some of the worst air quality in the entire country is pretty much right there. So
I wish we didn't have experience with that.
So we unfortunately know that pretty well here in California. And yep. It's possible that some of our smoke is causing this problem.
That way. Yeah.
But there's also fires in Canada and
thanks, Canada.
Yeah, in Minnesota.
Sorry.
So there's quite a few. But nonetheless, the eastern United States, the and the Northeast is really, really suffering with a lot of bad air quality.
Yep.
So there, Jeff Spring said he's 90% certain that everything's going to go forward and that they're going to be providing N95 masks and things like that. But air quality is not good.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes tomorrow. That being said, I won picks. Should we start FPO or
MPO? It's your choice. MPO. You won.
I'm going to start FPO because that to me was the most fun. And I'm in third place. I'm taking Katrina Allen.
In third place, I'm taking Katrina Allen.
Oh, are we gonna be in order?
We are.
Are you sure?
Well, no.
In second place, I'm taking Kristen Tatar.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Yeah. Tatar, Pierce.
Okay, and in first place, I'm taking Paige Pierce.
Yep.
I think she's going to exercise the demons and pull it out and have, you know, this is two tournaments in a row, you know, getting her heart ripped out, essentially.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to overcome it and have a dominant performance. So, MPO, in third place, I'm taking the Dibber, Gru Dibson.
Okay, cool. You know what I really want to take? And I didn't, but I really want to. Kale.
Oh.
But I'm not going to.
It's not his course. The man designed a course that he's not built for.
But he's so handsome.
Yeah.
In third place, I'm taking Simon Lazat.
Very nice. In second place, I'm taking Eagle McMahon.
Second place, I'm taking Calvin Heimberg.
Ooh. My first place pick is Calvin Heimberg.
Mine is a controversial first place pick. Like, I doubt very many people in disc golf will take this person.
I think I know where you're going here.
It's Paul McBeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Generally
known as washed up these days.
Yeah. Except for when he comes back from a loss with, like, an epic win.
Yeah.
Which I think he can do. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, every person that... Well, not Gibson. But every other MPO player we brought up... There's not a course that they can't play to.
Like, no.
Big forehand, backhand, they all have it. Simon, not necessarily the forehand, but there's lots of open-ish space, good putts. I think the same way you talk about Paige exercising the demons, that's how I feel about Paul.
Yeah, I would not be shocked whatsoever. So... All right, Joe, you ready to do a deer review?
Why don't you pick Nico LeCastro, reigning champion?
Reigning champion, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, deer review, go ahead.
All right, it's time for our world-famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have 21st Anniversary IPA by 21st Amendment Brewing Company, which is a 7.4% American IPA, West Coast IPA, and we're pairing that with the Cumulus by SUNY Sport, which is a 2-speed, 3-glide, -1 turn, 1-fade putter. 112 grams.
This one's 114.
That one's 114. Where do you want to start, Joe?
Let's start with the disc.
Disc
so,
or beer?
So, oh, sorry. Sorry, I jumped in. The disc, is Safety Line the plastic?
It is. It's also the only one that I know that it comes in.
Yeah. It's also, when we get there, this is actually really rad. So don't take my little razzing right now as me shitting on the disc. But what is Guru?
I don't know.
There's like 14 names on this disc, and I don't know what means what. But
yeah,
this shit's neat, man.
So this disc, I'll give a
How
little.
How did you even find this, by the way?
Someone in our Slack group, our Disc Golf Podcast Slack group. If you want to join it, go to our website, throwstuffatstuff.com, join Slack link. Awesome disc golf community. Someone, I don't know who, posted there. If you reach out to me, I will shout you out in the next podcast.
Ooh.
But someone posted it as just like a fun disc. And I am, you know, given that I have young children and that I'm teaching them to play disc golf.
And he likes fun things.
And I like fun stuff. I was intrigued by it. One, the weights were like something that sounded great for, you know, a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. So I was like, oh, okay, so they could throw this. And it also floats in water. So I was like, oh, I could bring this to the pool. And I don't have a pool.
River or whatever.
I could bring this to water. Pools and like it'd be okay and they could play with it and stuff like that. I was just making sure that I didn't sound pretentious with, you know, by
too late.
Making it sound like too I late. Had a pool. Like I don't. So I got them as kind of just like, oh, this should be really fun for my kids. And then like quickly as I threw them, realized that this was like actually kind of useful disc. It's wild. Like it is basically the shape of a zone.
Yep.
Like the mold is basically a zone, but it is the most rubbery, soft, like taco it, fold it. You could fold it into like eighths if you wanted to, and it would return to its shape.
That's a perfect quesadilla.
Like you could make a taco out of it quite easily.
Robin, we're a quesadilla podcast, not a taco.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A half quesadilla.
Yeah.
So it has all the kind of like, if you put it on paper, it just be like, oh no, this is horrible. But at the same time, it is not as under. It is not a minus one. It's not that understable. I can throw it pretty stable lines, honestly, like nice little hyzers and throw it flat and get it to fly straight. Honestly, it's a zero, not a minus one. And its biggest problem is that it's so soft that anything it hits, it stops. So it hits a rock, it stops. It hits a tree, it's going to stay in it.
Yeah.
It hits
I think
a bush.
The biggest problem is you didn't buy this before you were throwing a limited run Globe Lowfly.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
your children.
Exactly.
Because this would have been way cooler to yeah, throw with your kids and not like one of like
100%.
Less than 100, this, that. Anyway,
yeah.
No, it is way more stable than I thought. You even told me like, oh, it's really stable. Like, I don't think you get it because I think if you listen to the last podcast, maybe it was a pre-show, I saw this sitting on a stack of discs that maybe we have stacks of discs, sorry to be pretentious, in our Shedio. And I was like, oh shit, that thing's so warped. And I went to pick it up and it was just rubber. I was like, oh, that's why it looked that way. Cause it just, that's what it does. And Robin was like, oh, let's go throw it. Like, I'll show you. And I threw it. I was like, cool, dude. 112 little flopper. Neat. But after getting a lot more throws with it, it's a super neat disc.
Yeah, it's extremely intriguing. Forehands, backhands, it can handle a decent amount of power, like quite a bit of power.
Oh, I ripped it hard, and it did not turn over.
So, and what I think this disc has the best potential for, I don't know that I would put it in my bag for a disc golf course. One, because it really does, like, it hits anything and it stops. Like,
yeah.
You could put it in any kind of bush. Like a single leaf could stop it in its tracks, and because it's so light,
yep,
it has no momentum. And by that, you're also not going to get it to go very far, because part of throwing a disc far is mass and inertia. So having a 112 gram disc that is also kind of a little bit blunt is not going to go very far. But it's so intriguing because it flies how you it flies straight.
It does.
You can get nice hyzers out of it. You can even get little anti shots out of it. It's pretty cool, and it floats in water. So what Big I've plus. Been doing with it is I've been playing catch with my kids. It is so soft that even if you whack them in the face, they're fine.
Which I'm sure has happened.
And times. Like they're learning to catch it and like throw it back and forth, and it has been a really really fun disc to do that. So I think this disc is the perfect like warm up catch disc with you and your buddy at the course to like get your body warm.
How many of these do we have? Just two?
We have four technically, but I left two at a friend's house.
Okay. Now I'm like, I want to play catch with my son with one.
So, I mean, you can take one. Okay. We can order more before we launch this podcast too.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
we can do things like that. Pretentious.
But like playing catch, they're like a really soft disc. It's easy to catch with, very controllable. It will give you hyzer lines at short distance. It's honestly pretty overstable.
Gosh, it is. You put on a hyzer and it's still like a float to left hyzer. It's not like a spike down. Like a soft hyzer, it still pushes way left. It glides out. It's pretty neat.
If you're just doing like 100-foot like tosses between people, you can get S-line flights. You can get Anheuser flights.
I will say, if you want to put on a nice little hyzer, if you want to like get around a tree, do not hit that tree.
Yeah, it will stay in that tree.
Because it'll just stay in that tree.
It will stay in that tree. It
will. Like Robin
said. And it does not skip. It does not sidle. It hits the ground and it stops.
Yep.
So it has none of that game. So you can actually kind of hyzer it a little bit and have it stop like pretty much where it lands. It's kind of funny.
Like I think of the way it stops and the way it, not necessarily like similar flight, but not fully like it's so utility. It reminds me a ton of like a Sonic. Like Sonic is super understable where this isn't, but like in the thought of like, it just sticks where you put it and you can put it on weird little lines from a knee to where you need to get to the basket and just sit and you don't want to skip or roll or whatever. It's neat. It is very intriguing. I think Robin already said that.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it next, but I know that I'm going to be throwing it all the time with my children.
Yeah.
And probably bringing it around on to disc golf rounds just to like play catch. Like it is a really fun catch disc. Just in general, like we've had other people talk to us like bringing a bite or other style or blowfly out to just like play catch with to warm up in a parking lot. This disc is perfect for that, and I've thrown it on the worst possible conditions, and there are no chunks, there are no nicks, there's no nothing, and I've thrown them a lot.
Well, I'll tell you the only
and
other catch,
so like playing catch in an asphalt parking lot, you're not going to get it scraped up, it's not going to screw anything over, like you're not going to have this like weird chunked up disc, and it's easy to catch. If it whacks a car, it's not going to do anything.
Won't hurt your hand on like a long throw.
You could catch a 200-foot shot with this, and it would not hurt you.
Yeah,
and you could bang a car on a full speed drive from 20 feet, and it would not do a thing to the car.
No, it's rad. And Rob and I, like most of our big catch games, have been with judges, which are great, which I love. But I don't carry them anymore. They're not in my car. We don't have them. And I'm sure both of us, I know for sure me, on some where you're putting a little stank on it, and I've caught them and like, woo, okay.
Yeah.
Like this, you won't have to worry about it.
No, you don't. At all. If anything, they're honestly a little bouncy. Like you got to make sure to like you can't let
grab it fast.
You got to grab it fast rather than,
which is a great just trainer for like Ultimate too, which I've actually been thinking about getting into.
Yeah. So
again,
It is. I could see putting this in the bag.
Let's talk about the beer before we get too deep in that.
Okay, beer. So 21st Amendment, 21st Anniversary West Coast IPA, 7.4% alcohol. This is a beer that I'm told is being distributed to 33 states.
Oh, right.
So this should be available to most of our listeners.
Good.
At least our United States.
Out of San Francisco.
Yeah. Listeners.
Or San Leandro.
San Leandro, California.
I enjoy 21st Amendment. They've got a wide array of beers. Some I'm into, some I'm not into, but like they do IPAs well.
Yeah.
If you like watermelon wheat, maybe they have the best one. I know that's something that some people like. I can't stand it, but people like it. They do IPAs well. I think we've done 21st Amendment a few times on this pod.
We have.
I'm a fan, and 21st anniversary, good for them. It's a nice little beer.
I like this way more than their standard, Brew Free or Die.
Oh, I like Brew Free or Die better.
Really? I like this better.
I feel like Brew Free or Die
is too dry and too hoppy for me. I think this is an improvement. I like this better.
That's the exact reason why I like that better.
Really?
Because when I think West Coast, I think that like super piney, like kick you in the dick. I've thought that.
Yeah,
thought
but
that
that's
before.
Not true. Because like your flagship West Coast IPA is piney. And that's not like that.
It's way more hoppy than this. Piney's way more hoppy.
Yeah, but
even Blind Pig is more hoppy.
Brew Free or Die is
I get the dry.
The finish.
But the hoppy
is not,
I get and the bitter, like I got used
this
to that.
This has a smoother finish.
This is smooth as shit. This is way smoother. But it doesn't give me that, like when we started this podcast, you go back, like before Haze was a thing, which is crazy to think.
That's slushy what IPAs and
slushy IPAs. Like when we started this podcast, I like built my house on, I want like pine needles and bitter. Like that's my beer. And I think Brew Free or Die is closer to that than this. With that said, maybe I've gotten soft because I love Haze. Like Hazy's, and I know tons of people, like some of my best friends are like, I can't do Haze. Everything's Haze. I don't want Haze anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want a juice IPA. I don't want that shit. And I'm like, give me all of that.
Yeah.
I want all of that. Like, I told the dude I played disc golf with today that Num Num is still like number one in my in my queue. Like if I have a go-to and I can pick a Num Num, like I'm happy I know what I got. This isn't juice like a Num Num, but it is clean and clear and easy.
Yeah.
And for 7.4, that's wild. It's wild how
easy I would take this over Brew Free or Die just because of the smoother finish.
I would take it over the like orange, like the citrus Brew Free or Die.
Of course.
Without a doubt, but I think I'd still go Brew Free or Die over this.
Really?
With that said,
no.
It's a lovely beer. Like I think I can just move right in and say this is a beer built for disc golf round.
Yeah.
Smooth, crisp.
Agreed.
Not super dry. Like you just knock these out on the course and all of a sudden be on hole 9. Be like, oh, what did I do?
Yeah.
I drank 4 of those. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's a
good one.
It's a lovely little beer.
I like it.
Sorry we didn't spend the time we spent on the disc on this, but I think it's a pretty easy slam dunk. There's not overwhelming big flavors. It's just a nice, smooth, clean IPA.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yep.
The disc, however, and I'll tell you my thoughts and then Robin can wrap up. When I saw it and it was warped, I was like, oh, what? And then Robin's like, no, it's hella cool. I was like, sure, dude. And I threw it a few times and I was like, it's still whatever. And then getting out to like drive with it, I'm a believer. It's way cooler than I thought, way more stable than I thought. Not like an overstable super beef disc, but if you throw it flat or even like a little hyzer, it's just going to laser beam straight for a while. Not even fade hard, but just stick. Just stop like in its tracks, which is really cool, but also I play a lot of skip. Like skip is a part of my game. Like and that's probably why I don't have any aces, because I'm like, I'll put it out to the right and it's going to get right to the basket.
I mean, skip aces are a thing.
I know. I've seen you do it forehand from like 200 and anyway, with the bot. Anyways, yes, it's super cool. I love it as a catch disc. I'm actually going to take this home because I feel like I actually play catch with my son, and maybe that's the way I can slowly get him to where he actually wants to think about some sort of disc golf, which would be neat. But I think anything more than a catch disc, for me, like, there's not a fit, really. I've got my, like, random side pocket that's got my Sonic for things that are super random. Aside from that, I don't see where I put this in.
I think this is going to be a periphery sort of thing, as in, it has no slot in my bag, but I'm going to bring it to the course every time. So, I don't know what that means, but...
Well, on Sundays, you'll bring it to the course.
I know, I mean, just in general, like, we could warm up with this.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, quite easily... And it would be usable. So yeah, I'm gonna have it around every single time. In terms of in the round, it has two problems. One, it's so light that the momentum gained in terms of distance is so short. So like in terms of like I can get the same line that I would throw with one of my favorite putters with this disc, but it's going to drop out and stop on a dime at 220 feet. And that's about as far as I can throw it. And maybe 240. I don't know.
You know what I was saying about it? We talked about throwing a headwind, and I don't think a headwind really would mess with it that much.
I don't think
so. But you know what we didn't talk about? Throwing a high ante in a tailwind.
You could push a little bit, but that's a rare scenario.
Oh yeah, I'm just thinking fun stuff,
anything stops it in its tracks, like a twig, like three leaves.
I hit a leaf today.
Like if it hits a leaf, it is going to deaden it. It just has no mass, no inertia to it, so it's not going to penetrate through rough or anything like that. So if you're planning on using it as like a get out of jail sort of thing, it's not a great disc for that, because if you're in jail and you hit like a twig, it's not going to go very far. It's going to immediately deaden its play, lose all its spin, and
stop. I tried it today. I was like, I'll just pop around this tree. Oh no, I hit the tree and I'm stuck in it. Shit.
But it's still like a ton of fun. Like it is honestly pretty stable. I'd say it's a zero. Joe saw me a couple times today throw it, I don't know, maybe 220 on just like pure laser beams.
Yep.
And then like probably 230 on hyzers, something along those lines that I was able to do. And so it's shockingly reliable for being 112 grams and a two-speed disc. And on top of that, you can play catch with it. It's fun. It is a fun disc. That's why we brought it on. Yep. That's why we reviewed it. So I'm going to say that I'm putting it in the bag just because it's going to be around and I'm going to play with it.
Well, I think the smartest way for you to keep it in the bag is to put it in your son's lovely BP3.
That's going
to
happen.
And when we play kid rounds, experiment.
Yeah.
And not put in your main bag because you ain't got room for that.
No, it's not going to go in the main bag. I'm just saying it's going to be part of my life.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
I mean, with that said, we felt the same way about the loft. And I kept it in for like a second and was like, no.
Yeah.
This is a very different disc than the loft. Let me say that.
Yeah,
this is
totally different.
This is neat. This is super neat. There are a handful of holes that I can think of at course I've played that are super short water carry too. That I'm like, if it's open and I can hyzer or throw flat over, I will pull this out knowing it floats. And I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. Did we mention it floats?
Hey, it floats.
So, yeah. All right. That's all we got for you. Oh, wait. We got to do a thing.
So you're sorry. I mean, so we're like,
I almost closed this out.
We're like three of four, right?
I think we're three of four. You don't love it. I
don't hate it. I like it. I just there's no reason for it to be.
Listen, if
the only reason that it actually could make sense in a bag, to be honest, is the sense the same you're talking about. Like, I can just fold it up and put it in a pocket. Like, it doesn't need to take a disc. Course, spot.
That's what I mean.
Like, it can just go. I could carry it in my back pocket. Like, it's an easy thing to throw in.
It is. Yeah.
You could do whatever you want with it. But I still. I mean, I will. At this point, I'm not going to put it in my bag. I'm going to play catch with my son, hopefully with it, and maybe he'll love to disc golf at some point. And we'll see where it goes from there. But I think that's 3 out of 4. And I think that's like, 75%? And I think that's how much more handsome Kalaviska is than any other MPO player.
Fair enough. At least. I like it. All right, that's all we got for you in this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. If you have time, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Leave a nice review. We always appreciate them. And check out our website, throwstuffstuff.com. You can find there a link to our awesome Slack group, the best disc golf community in the entire world. Right on there, throwstuffstuff.com. Join Slack link. It's incredible. There's disc golf talk 24/7 and, you know, tons of other channels based on everyone's interests. So
on our website too, you can find all of our deer reviews too. So if you're interested in a beer or a disc and you're like, oh, have these guys checked it out? It's super easy to search and find those discs and beers and figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. And lastly, if you love our show, you will absolutely love our pre-shows, which you can get by becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. If you burn through all of our episodes and you're looking for more, there are tons of them on there. All you have to do is become a supporter, and suddenly you'll have access to hundreds, literally hundreds of pre-show episodes.
Hey, are you into ball golf? There might be something for you.
Maybe
there.
Next week you'll get access to the Ball Golf Podcast yeah. premiere show. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right. In the meantime, get out there and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you want to put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me, it's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA, so let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.